We started a new series last week on the book of Ephesians, so if you would please turn there. Last week we saw that the main focus is Paul wants us to understand our identity in Christ. And we saw last week that we are, just as a reminder, we are born in Adam. And because we're born in Adam, we are what? Sinners. Okay. Okay, we're sinners. That's our identity. Okay. That's who we are. We're sinners. Now that we get that by birth. But Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and it's really, we think it's a circular letter. Went to a lot of the letters, a lot of the churches that were surrounding Ephesus. And Ephesus was just the main one, and perhaps the mother church of some of the others. And Paul starts off, and he says, to the saints who are in Ephesus. And we saw that that's who we are now. We are born in Adam. How do we get in Christ? Okay, we are born again into Christ, okay? We're born in Adam, and then some of us are over here in Christ, and we are born again into Christ, and we'll see that salvation is by grace through faith. Oh, and that's just a little, looking ahead, we are going to stop our Ephesians series right at the very end of October because this is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at, over 5 weeks, we're going to look at the five solas of the Reformation. The first is by Scripture alone. And we're going to see that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God. Okay, and Paul is starting off here with the Ephesians, and he wants us, the Holy Spirit wants us to understand who we are in Christ. In Adam, our identity is sinners. In Christ, our identity is as saints. Okay, so that's what we looked at last week. In Adam, there is condemnation. In Jesus, there is salvation. We're separated in Adam, but we're brought near and we're adopted, as Christy said, in Christ. And so what we're going to be doing, what Paul wants us to do, and what we're going to be doing over the next who knows how long, in chapters 1 through 3, we'll be looking at who we are and what we have in Adam. And then in 4 through 6, how we should live by virtue, who we have in Christ, and by virtue of being in Christ, how we ought to live. This morning, we're going to start the first major section. The first major section is verses 3 through 14. And the theme of 3 through 14 is that we are blessed, so we ought to bless God. Okay, that's the tying-in theme of that first section. We're blessed if we're in Christ, so we ought to bless God. Now, Missy doesn't like my homemade signs, so she volunteered to make some real ones. So we got in Christ, that's Missy made that, saints, and now we learn that we are blessed. Okay. So I want that to kind of burn into your mind that if we are in Christ, we're blessed. And Paul's going to lay out for us what those blessings are. Now, a couple weeks ago, our Ford Escape hybrid started going on the blink. It would just die for no good reason. And not everybody can work on a hybrid, so I went over to the Ford dealership to have them take a look and see if they could diagnose what was going on. And it was a very long process, and I don't know how many times I was in talking to the service manager. It wasn't really the service manager, the guy who was kind of manages everything for the service manager. And whenever I would leave, James would say, "Have a blessed day." And I never knew exactly what James meant by that. I think it was his, and he's a believer, and there's at least one other mechanic in there who is a believer. And this, I think this is the way in which he wanted to witness. And he'd always tell me, "Have a blessed day." And so it got me thinking, what is a blessed day? If he wanted me to have a blessed day, what is a blessed day? So let me ask you, what's a blessed day? every day is a blessed day. Especially when, if you got coffee to start your day, then it's a blessed day. Oh, so that's what he was with. Carter, may you have coffee today. Or Carter, may you have a day. Okay, so it's a blessed day if you can figure out how to serve God. Is that what you... Anybody else want to, what you thought? If I'm having... Somebody says... No, what are you thinking, Susan? If somebody... What? Okay. Other people would wish they had your day. Okay. 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 That would be a blessed day. I mean, a blessed day might be your beer has turned out okay when you've been brewing. That would be a blessed day. I was kind of thinking about that, and how would we define a blessed day? Because if you said, how's it going? You say, I'm blessed. What would come to your mind if somebody says, hey, I'm blessed? So let's kind of talk about that this morning. When Paul says in verse number 3, we're only going to get to one verse this morning. So that means if we do that for the rest of the time, we'll be in here. I don't know. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Okay, Paul starts off and he said, blessed be the God. What does that mean? Blessed be the God. Those of you who have the NIV says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, what does that mean? Because the word there that's translated praise, or the word that's translated bless, is, well, I won't even give you the Greek word, but it's what we get our word eulogy from. Okay, it's eulogetos is the word, and we get our word eulogy. Now, when is a eulogy? What is a eulogy? Pardon? Pardon, Karen? Okay, Karen says, you talk about how good a life was. It's usually given at a funeral. It's just kind of a formal declaration of the goodness of somebody, you know, how great they've been, what their life has been. It's formal praise of talking about how good and great somebody is. That's a eulogy. And Paul is saying here, may God be eulogized. And Paul is seeking to eulogize God, to proclaim God is great, God is good, God is magnificent, God is wonderful. He's eulogizing God. And he's calling the Ephesians to eulogize God, to praise God, to bless God, to worship God. And I think because it's here, the Holy Spirit wants us to do that as well. So let me ask you, when was the last time you blessed God, you praised God? Okay, a couple minutes ago. Yeah, we sang the doxology. That was Carter. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And then we had all those magnificent songs that we got to sing. Okay, besides that, y'all got lucky. We had a good singing time of praise this morning. Okay, before then, when was the last time that you said, praise the Lord or praise God, or you gave praise to God, or you blessed him, you eulogized him? At breakfast. Okay, did this morning. Anybody struggled maybe the time before that? Okay, because we're not Pentecostal, we aren't always saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. We don't do that. We're Presbyterian, so we just... right? Okay. But Paul's life is one that's characterized by praise, by blessing God, by worshiping God, and he wants the Ephesians to do so as well. And consequently, it's recorded for us, and so God wants us to be those who bless him. who praise Him, who worship Him. And this morning, what I want us to do is to look at why we should, and then what are some things that can keep us from blessing God, worshiping God, and then how we get there. How can we become more and more of a people that do this? Okay, so that's kind of where we're headed, just looking here at verse number 3. And I'll jump into a little bit into the whole section. Okay, the first reason why we ought to be characterized by praise or by worship is because of who God is. And we have looked at that in some of these hymns and songs that we sang this morning. God is a marvelous God. God is a powerful God. God is a good God. God is a wise God. Because of who God is, the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who created all this, the one who sustains all this by his powerful word, we ought to worship him. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Psalm 98 says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together." Nature proclaims God's greatness. When the birds sing, they sing His praises. So just because of who God is, we ought to be characterized by praise, by blessing Him. But the second reason is because of what God has done. And that's where Paul is. Paul is focusing in on what God has done. Now, what are some things that we can bless God for, praise God for? This is not a Thanksgiving service, but go ahead. What are some things that we could, that God has done, that you want to, that you can give praise and thanks to Him for? Okay, you've got family. You're surrounded by family who loves you, and they love each other. Okay. The creation. David saw a hummingbird and saw the rose of Sharon. Pardon? A job you love, and it gives you a little bit of money, so that's great. Friends, you got married for 20 years to your best friend. Okay, yeah. If we're in Christ, the certainty of going to heaven when we die. No fear in death. No fear in life. Blessings. Medical technology, absolutely. Transformed life. Okay, Nikki's life is being transformed. Got a great church. Now, if you just had a great pastor, then it would be superb. Yeah, okay. So I'm sure we could very quickly fill up a sheet of paper of some of the blessings of life, good things that God has done for us. And Paul is taken up with good things that God has done for him, and he's sounding out God's praises. Now, when somebody comes, have you ever had somebody come up to you and they're really, really, really excited and they want to tell you about something? Yeah. Oh, let me tell you about this great guy that's in school this year. He is so gorgeous, and he's asked me out. Okay, and you want to, just, and they just go on and on and on about this gorgeous guy. Or let me tell you about my summer. Let me tell you about this or that. You know, Chris and Billy and I were going to go off hunting, and Billy or Chris could come down and tell Carter about this giant deer that they saw, and they saved it for me. Okay, yeah, and so yeah, people can get really excited and then just talk on and on and on and on about this thing that's overwhelming. Well, that's where Paul is. He has been thinking about what God has done for him, and it's completely excited him. And he's writing it down, or he's dictating it, we don't know. And he starts in verse number 3, and he keeps going all the way to verse number 14, basically without catching his breath. Verse 3 down to verse 14, that's 12 verses, is one sentence in the Greek. It's one huge, run-on, convoluted, deep sentence. 202 words without a break. Paul is so excited with what God has done. So we have to ask the question, what is Paul excited about? He says, I am blessed. And so the question, well, did he just become Pope? And that's got him excited. No. How about the Pope just canonized him and he's now St. Paul? No. Win the Jerusalem lottery? Got a date with a Grecian beauty queen? How about maybe his grandfather left him a villa, a chateau overlooking the Mediterranean Sea? No, none of those. Well, Paul, what's Paul so excited about? The interesting thing is, Paul is in prison. Things aren't going all that great for Paul. Now, we've had some articles in the newspaper, and I'm sure you all, some of you have read about the overcrowding in the Ray County Jail. And they've had to ship a lot of the people. You have, you know, beds all over the floors, beds near the urinals. You know, it's not been very good. Ray County Jail is a lot better than the prison that Paul was in. Okay. Paul was most likely chained between at least with one Roman soldier, maybe two. Paul does not get to take a bath. Paul wears the same clothes every single day. Paul does not have deodorant. Paul does not have any very good food, if food at all. He may not get out of there alive. It is a very, very bad place. And yet Paul is excited. And he would say, I'm having a blessed day. Now, if anybody had a right to complain, it would be Paul. Because Paul has been trying to be faithful, serving God, doing everything that God has told him to do. And this is what he's getting. He's getting prison for his service for God. And yet he is praising. And the question is why? So what we have to do is we have to look at our text. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. And so Paul is saying, the reason why I am blessing God is because I have been blessed. And then he outlines for them how he has been blessed. And he thinks that if they know what he knows, then they too will be blessing God or praising God. Now, what do you think? Should we be those who are characterized by praise? Okay. Yes, we ought to. So what are some things, I have to think, what are some things that keep us from being characterized by praise? And the first one is still in Adam. Okay. If you are in Adam, if you are not converted, there's no way your life is going to be characterized by praise from God. Because these people don't know God. And so there is no way your life could be characterized by God, by praise. And so look at your life and say, is my life characterized by more by praise or by complaining? Am I thriving in the circumstances in which I find myself, even if they're kind of like a prison, or am I just barely surviving in that position? Paul is thriving even though he is in jail, and he's praising God because he is not in Adam. He knows he's not in Adam. He knows he is in Christ. And so we have to look at ourselves. Am I truly converted if my life is full of whining and complaining? And we've got to get that settled first. I think the second reason why we might not be characterized by praise or by blessing God is because we're focusing in on the wrong stuff. We're focusing in on the external and the physical. And when our focus is on the external and the physical, when those the external and the physical is not what we think it ought to be, then we will complain. When we start thinking that being blessed is having a day when everything goes right, when we're in big trouble. If everything goes right, okay, what's an everything going right in your day? Children obey. How was your day? It was great because my kids obeyed today. I had a blessed day. My kids obeyed. Okay, I had a great day, you know, because when I went to Walmart, I found everything that I wanted, and I got in the shortest line that went really, really fast. It was a great day. Everybody drove the way I think they should drive. Great day, blessed day. Great day, blessed day. My wife fixed the most marvelous meal that she has ever done, my favorite stuff. Or my husband did what he was supposed to do. Great day, blessed day. Okay. We're going to get ourselves in trouble when we see the days through the physical, because there are going to be days that aren't great like that. Okay. We will not be characterized by praise when we start thinking such thoughts as nobody appreciates me. I'm not getting what I deserve. Nobody appreciates me. Anybody ever feel that? Yeah. Well, think about Paul. Paul was probably the greatest missionary there has ever been. Okay. Paul was a great church planter, planted some great churches. He wrote, we'll say, one third of the Bible, so that's pretty great. He wrote the Bible. And when he was arrested and thrown into prison, very few people ever visited him. In prison, he would be responsible basically a lot of times to buy his own food, provide for his own means, and a lot of times money never came in. He's on trial for his life, and he says to the Philippians, nobody stood with me. Paul was not appreciated, but yet, here he is, he's blessing God. Or we might think, you know, we can not be characterized by praise. Well, you know, if, you know, I have all these talents, I have all these gifts and these abilities, and I'm stuck at home taking care of these ungrateful kids, or I'm stuck in a dead-end job where my gifts and abilities are not recognized. And if I would be recognized, then I would praise God. Well, think about Paul. Paul probably had most, if not every one of the spiritual gifts there are. He had gift of wisdom. He had gifts of knowledge. He had healing gifts. He spoke in tongues. He had organizational gifts. He had leadership gifts. He was an extremely gifted man. But where was he when he wrote this book? Where? Prison. God, here I am, so gifted, and I'm stuck in this dead end job. In prison. And I don't know if I'm going to get out. But was he whining and complaining? No, he was praising God. Well, if my health is no good, if my health was good, if God would just heal me, then I would praise God. Well, think about Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. This was a man who had the gift of healing, probably. He could pray and people would be healed. So maybe it was a gift of faith. But he has this physical affliction and he prays and God doesn't heal him. He prays again and God doesn't heal him. He prays again and God doesn't heal him. Okay. And so it's with him for the rest of his life. But he doesn't complain. He's here he is. He's praising God. Or we think, well, I'm not getting paid enough. My employers do not pay me what I deserve to be paid. And there are these other people who are doing less important jobs than I am, who are making a whole lot more money than I am making. And if God would just arrange it so I would get paid more, then I would praise him. Well, what about Paul? I mean, he'd go in and he would start a church and he would labor in that church and they wouldn't pay him a nickel or a denarii. He'd have to make tents. And then when he would leave, and sometimes they'd give him a little bit of money to send him on a missionary journey, but a lot of times they wouldn't even support missions. And so he said, I've had to learn how to abase. If I have food to eat and clothes to wear, I'm content. So he wasn't paid what he was worth. Is he complaining? No, he's praising God. Well, I've got all these sins in my past that are just weighing me down. Have you murdered anybody? Paul did. Paul was responsible for, helped kill Stephen. And he would arrest Christians and throw them off in jail. Ever been a prostitute? Some of Jesus' followers were. How about demon-possessed? Mary Magdalene was. Had five husbands and shack up with others. The Samaritan woman did. No. Anybody here have sins that are greater than the grace of God? No. Any sin that Jesus is unwilling to forgive? No. So anytime we focus in on circumstances, external things, physical things, that can rob us of our joy, lead to complaining. And if Paul went there, he would have died in prison, probably. But we see he is praising God. And we can as well. So that's the second thing. The first reason why we might not be characterized by praise is we're still in Adam. Number two is we're focusing in on the external, the physical. Number three is we don't understand who we are or who we were and what we have in Christ. And so let me take these things down. This is who we are and what we have in Christ. And this is what was causing Paul to praise God and get so excited. Next week. And bring your binoculars. You're chosen. Blame. We got a number of engineers in this church. Anybody want to use your gift so people can praise you and not complain against me? In Christ, we're saints. In Christ, we're blessed. And these blessings is that we have been chosen before the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us and adopted us as sons or as children. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We understand that God's great plan for this world to reconcile all things together in Christ. And then He sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Those are the blessings that are all ours, and that's what Paul has chosen to focus in on while he is in prison. And that has caused him to burst forth in praise. And what he wants the Ephesians to know is what was true of him, for him is true for them, that this is who they are and this is what they have. And so what we're going to do over the upcoming weeks is we're going to kind of explode these things and look at them so that we get a better understanding of what Jesus has done for us. Because of all of this, we ought to be living a totally different life, a life that eulogizes God. Okay, so we've got Christians whose whole world down in Florida and in the Caribbean has been wrecked. There, some of them are going to be losing it all the physical. And if they focus in on the physical, it'll kill them. And what they need to get a hold of, and then what we, in our blessed life, what we need to get a hold of, though, are these things right here. Because that radically changes everything. But the problem, one of the problems is that we can understand these, we can know these things, and it still not changes. And we can still not be transformed and be a people that eulogize God. And I think one of the reasons for that is that we're too busy to think about these things, to meditate on these things. We don't take the time to remind ourselves. And maybe the reason why Paul was so excited and was praising God, utilizing God, is because he had lost everything. Every physical blessing in this world was gone. And so all he had left was the spiritual, the eternal. He says, we've been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He said, I have it all. And then he had now being in prison, he had the time to meditate on and to think about those things. And it led him to be a person who eulogized God. Now, have you ever wondered why those things, your life gets so rough sometimes? Why is it that you aren't appreciated the way you should be appreciated, you know, recognized or paid the what you should be paid, those types of things? It may be so that these things can be more real to you. Like, for an example, when you're overlooked, feel like nobody is paying attention to you, or they overlook you and go to somebody else, perhaps use that time to remember and to think on that God chose me. Before the foundation of the world, God chose me. Anybody here plagued by sin? You're willing to raise your hand and admit that. Okay, we got some who are willing to admit that. Okay, recently, the past week, I've had some of those days when things are just not going right. When I'm trying to do something and it just doesn't do. And, okay, this is called confession time. Okay. I'm working on that, and it all messes up, and then I go, forgive me, I go, crap. And it just kind of comes out. And then sometimes the D word comes out. And I think, what in the world? God, what is wrong with me? Why is that the stuff that's just coming out of my mouth? What's going to happen if I get Alzheimer's? What's going to come out if that happens? Okay, so why does God allow that to happen? Why doesn't he just zap me? It may be because what he wants me to get burnt into me is that in his sight, I'm blameless. And then I have been forgiven. All my sins have been forgiven. When you sin and you screw up, let it be a time which reminds you that those sins are forgiven, and that causes you to praise. When you're overlooked, and you reminds you that God chose you, and it causes you to praise. When you go through a period of suffering, and you say, okay, on here, but I have been redeemed. And how are we redeemed? Grace. Yeah, by grace. But what was done? Christ's suffering. Okay. Jesus understands what it means to suffer. And so we're in a time of you go through a time of suffering, then that reminds you that, hey, I've got a Savior who suffered for me and understands what I'm going through. Or a time of loneliness. But hey, I am lonely and nobody really wants to be around me much. But hey, I've been adopted. God loved me so much. He predestined me in love. He predestined me for adoption. I'm greatly loved by this one. Or I'm struggling financially, and what do I got? And I don't have it up there. What did I do? I got an inheritance. When I'm reminded of my failures and I can't even put one of the things up there, I've got a Savior. I got an inheritance that goes right in there. Okay, reserved for me in heaven. And when when I sin and it feels like I could be cast off by God or something like that, or I'm rejected, I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what we do is you can use the negative things. God allows the bad to come into our lives, and he's in there working in that bad. Because he wants us to understand how much we have been blessed. Physical things, perhaps not, but we've got every spiritual blessing there is in Christ. Paul in Colossians 3, Colossians is kind of a mini Ephesians, he says this. He says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He said, you're in Christ. And that's probably what Paul did when he was in prison. He set his mind on things above, where Christ is. And he saw he had all these blessings in Christ, and that caused him to burst forth in praise. And that's what I wanted to do for us as well over these upcoming weeks, is that we'll find out how blessed we are and that we will be a people who eulogize God. So how do we become the person of praise? I think meditate on these. Think about these. Oh, there it is. Hey. There it is. There it is. There it is. That woke some of y'all up. Now, listen to what the psalmist said. This is Psalm 103. And let's learn from the psalmist. Okay, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Okay, what's he doing right there when he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul"? He's eulogizing, okay, what's he doing? He's telling himself to do it. He's saying, soul, bless God. Soul, don't forget his benefits. So sometimes we just have to tell ourselves, talk to ourselves. There's a psalm, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, hope in God?" You ever get depressed? Yeah, well, talk to yourself. Ask yourself, "Why are you cast down, soul? Hope in God." Now, soul, bless God, praise God, eulogize God. Why? Don't forget all of his benefits. Well, what are his benefits? Well, David says, he forgives all your iniquity. He redeemed your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins, and he doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. As a father shows compassion to his children, the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame and remembers we are dust. And so you say, self, don't forget the benefits. What kind of benefits do I have? Physically, you might not have much, but if you go through these, it changes everything. Charles Spurgeon, great Reformed Baptist pastor from England, one of the greatest preachers of the last 1800s, was a man who could get discouraged a little bit, sometimes a lot. He had some physical problems, gout being one of them. And one day his wife came in and saw him, and he was really, really moping around the house, really, really deep discouraged and depression. And being a good wife, she didn't say anything. His good wife. But she went upstairs. She put on her long black dress, and I think she had the black doily on, and she came down and walked through the room where he was, and he said, "Who died?" And she said, "God did." He said, "What do you mean God died?" "Well, the way you were acting around here, I thought he must have." And that kind of lifted him up a little bit. Okay. Are you characterized by praise, or are you moping around? Are you rejoicing in the goodness of God, or acting as though God is dead? God has blessed us. Let's be a people who eulogizes him. Let's pray. Father, even if you had not blessed us, you are still a God who is worthy to be praised because you are God. But you have blessed us. Most of us, outstandingly physically, you have blessed us. In fact, all of us have more than the vast majority of the people of this world, and especially of Paul's world. But if we're in Christ, we have it all, every spiritual blessing. Nothing is withheld. I pray that you would open our eyes to see and to understand what we have in Jesus. And may we live out of our identity. And may we be a people who bless you. Father, I thank you for Paul, who was so gifted and had so much, and then he gave that all up to serve you. And what he got, a lot of time, was pain and ultimately death. But because of all that, we have been so blessed. Help us to learn from your servant the things that you taught him, that we might be those who bless you and call others to do the same. And Father, we pray again for those who have lost everything And who will in the next couple hours or days, that you might be to them all that they need. Minister to the deep needs of their hearts and show yourself through your people. Amen. When we stand in